following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning us in on the Still Just Fishing Show. We got Bill Denmark in here with us this morning.
Howdy.
The Trout Man.
They go from the Blaine King to the Trout Man. It's only taking me
a
year.
See, that's improved.
Yeah. Know? I need to start catching cobia in the inlet, then I'll be all that.
Yeah. Well, that's not unheard of. No. I know Stephen Crowder caught a keeper cobia at the Little Jetties one day.
Wow. I saw one in New Smyrna Beach at the second bridge. The guy, an older gentleman and his grandson, he brought it to the bait shop, and they go, "What's this?" We're like, "Oh, where'd you catch?" You go, "Well, we caught it off that public dock over there." And it was a cobia.
Yeah.
And no, it wasn't legal.
Oh, boy.
But it was dead.
That's what I was just fixing to say. You know, that's kind of dangerous when people do that, because if they don't know what it is and then they've killed it or whatever. Or,
yeah.
I mean, as far as taking it back to your car, it's already harvested.
Yes, it was definitely harvested. And the kid would rather go to jail than give it up. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of times people, I think that's what's wrong. A lot of times when people catch this giant drum, they've never caught a big fish like that before, so they want to
keep it,
need it, you know, and things like that, you know. But, I mean, there's people that keep those big bull reds, and, you know, it's like when they catch one, they can't resist keeping it, you know. But, but it is, you know, it is what it is. We all have the same rules and regulations we have to go by, you know.
A couple months ago, I caught a big redfish on a topwater lure. I didn't measure it. Mm-hmm. And I got out of it because it looked pretty good. It looked reasonable. It wasn't that big.
Yeah.
And a couple guys at the ramp, they go, that fish got to be at least 26. I said, "I don't know. I didn't measure it." "So you got a tape?" He goes, "Yeah." And I took it over, and he had one of those fish sticks glued to the bottom of his boat. So I threw it over the boat. And he's right on my shoulder, and he goes, "You probably ought to clean this one at home." It was 29 and a half inches long.
Oh, my God.
There I am in the launch ramp with it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I'm not going to make that mistake again.
No, because it's too expensive.
Yeah. I'm not paying a couple hundred bucks for a fish.
You know, it's a little more than a couple hundred, but.
Is it? I thought it was like 210.
Yeah, that's something like that. Yeah. That's what I say, a little more. They usually make you pay a court cost, stuff like that, you know.
Dandy.
Which is another, I think, $35 or $45. But the biggest thing about that is, and that's because I know this particular gentleman that's retired, and he's been caught, you know, a couple of times with big reds, and I keep telling him, "It's not worth it, man. Go to Publix if you need some fish, or Trout River Fish Company or something like that if you need some fish, instead of, you know, paying for a red," because he complains now that the Marine Patrol stops him every time they see him out there. And I'm like, well, they know that you keep illegal fish, so they're gonna check you every single time.
They should,
you know. So but anyway, then it's just not worth it, you know.
No, I caught a big trout yesterday. I showed you that picture. I threw it back because it was like a football. It was like the egg department at Sam's Club.
Yeah,
you know, and I don't need it that bad, so I just took about 265 pictures and threw them over the side. That's the first time I've caught a big trout in quite a while.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get Captain Chip Wing on. He might be ready for a charter. Good morning, Chip.
I'm ready to go turkey hunting.
Oh, are you?
there you go.
Is that what you fix to do today?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got the last weekend right now. So.
Oh, is it already? Wow, man.
Yeah.
Golly, man, it's going to be June before we know it.
Yeah, it's going to be deer season before I know it. So.
How's the water look down in Palm Valley?
It's been looking good this past week. I mean, we had some rain, which made the bite kind of tough at the beginning part of the week. But I fished up at Sisters the beginning of the week, and the water was beautiful up there for a change.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and there's just so many different kinds of fish. But, you know, south of the valley, I fished that tournament last weekend, the Builders Tournament. And congratulations to Chase Comer, my junior angler, who caught the big junior redfish and the biggest junior flounder.
That's great.
Yeah, he was a man. This kid can fish, man. He was awesome. So, and then we had that 8-pound triple tail in the ditch. That was a bonus, you know.
Yeah, I saw that. That was neat. That was neat. I haven't seen him up there, you know, in Hannah Mills, where they have come under. They usually come underneath that pipe there at White Shell, and I think that's how they get in there. I'm not sure because of that particular creek that they're in there, and they're usually a random crab trap floats in there, you know, in the springtime. But I haven't seen them in there this year.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird year. They were on the beach pretty good for a while.
Yeah, I had some you know, a couple of crabbers in that area would tell me when they'd pull up to their float, they would see them in there. So I started, you know, checking them out in there. We get them around 6-7 pounds, you know, but I mean, no monsters like you'd get on the beach sometimes. I know Kirk Walt said he saw a monster. I think it was last week or something like that. I heard him talking about it was, you know, he saw a real big one, but they didn't get to catch him. But I need to ease up to those floats again because I hadn't talked to those crabbers yet this year. But ease up to them and just see, because I mean, I haven't, you know, usually I'll wait till I hear from them, but. It's getting almost, that water temperature is getting so warm now, they might move on up, you know, the coast some more.
That's true. You know, it's funny because there's every year there's some big ones up by Trout River in the river. I mean, you know, fish that are 12, 14, 16 pounds, always some big ones up that way. I haven't heard much on them this year. I know the trout bites turned on up in the river, which is awesome.
That's good.
Yeah, it didn't turn on for me last Saturday.
Well, you know, that water, you know, like yesterday when I was headed to Mill Cove yesterday, and I went out from Sisters Creek, went out in the river, and man, the clouds of mud and dirt, you know, from those dredges, it's just unbelievable all in that area around, you know, Little Jetties, White Shell, you know, all the way up to, you know, past the rocks at Blunt Island. I mean, it's just clouds of mud, you know.
Yeah, it was strange because when I ran I guess it was last Monday, I fished from Beach Boulevard, ran all the way up to Sisters, and it was like running through a shipyard right there by the little jetties. There were so many barges and tugs and,
yeah
it looks like one of those science fiction movies where the, you know, the earth has gone to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah
that's pretty much the way it looked.
Expect to see Kevin Costner on a catamaran.
And then what's today, Saturday, so Thursday we had caught two small snook, lost a big one, they lost two other snook, and jumped a tarpon, and what else did we catch? I had two charters late in the evening, same guy back to back, and he couldn't start fishing until 5, and second day is when we got on the better bite, but it was an interesting bite. It was just right before dark, last of the outgoing tide, that it just came alive. It was to the point, you know, Vic, when you're out there and you don't know where to throw because there's fish blowing up everywhere.
Oh boy, yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Love to see that. We saw one redfish strike yesterday against the grass after about 2 hours of the incoming, 2.5 hours, something like that. That's the only one we saw actually striking. And for the water temperature, I'm just amazed at that. We're here in May now. We should be seeing that.
Yeah. It's funny how you chase a fish down the bank for 100 yards. He's back and tailing, blowing up, and you can't catch him.
I know.
You
know,
no, that's not funny.
Well, if you'd like to get out there with Captain Chip Wingo, you can give him a call at 614-4989. That's 614-4989. I appreciate the call, Chip.
Thanks, Vic. Have a good day, guys.
All right, buddy. Appreciate
it. See you later.
Have a good one. Hope you get a turkey. And, wow. Buttons are stuck on the phone. Anyway, give us a call if you like, 222-8255, and we'll be back right after this.
Yeah. Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and black and mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. Got Captain Leon on now. Good morning, Leon.
Morning, Vic.
How you doing, sir?
Doing good, buddy. Who's in there with you today?
Bill Denmark.
Who?
Bill Denmark. You hadn't met him. Okay. I don't think you've met him, have you?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
The Blenny King.
Blenny Bill.
Jennifer, my hearing is so daggone bad. I have to ask people three times their names, just looking dead at them. It's so bad nowadays.
Well, I have a.
But that's all right.
You know, when we get so many people on board every day like that, it's hard to get their names down. And I notice whenever people introduce themselves, if I don't say their name right back to them, and then like say, you know, how do you like this, and say their name again real quick or whatever, you know, I've lost it before we get to the first fishing spot.
Vic, you're better than me. I've lost it before I get in the damn boat. I mean, it just drives me crazy. But what works for me is when I hear their name, I'll correlate it with someone I already know with that name.
There you go.
Or something, and that helps me immensely. Now, the weird thing is that I can remember phone numbers back from the 70s. I can't figure that out. I mean, go ahead and ask me the phone number to Sports Unlimited back in the 80s, you know, or... a friend of mine's phone number. Oh, no problem with that, but I'll be damned if I know what I had for dinner last night.
You know what that's called?
getting older.
Getting older.
CRS.
Yeah. I had my first boo-boo in the boat this weekend.
Uh-oh.
I guess it's getting older, too. I just bumped my wrist on something. I have no clue what I hit. And I've got a welt half the size of a, it's about the size of a cherry. I guess they call it a busted blood vessel or something. It's as hard as a rock now. I mean, it just blew up out of nowhere. As hard as a rock and half of a cherry.
Man.
You know? I guess that's something old, too, I guess. I can't wait for the next 5 years.
But when you take blood thinners, you can bump something and you have a heck of a bruise.
Yeah.
That's what happens to me all the time.
But anyway, let's talk about fishing.
All right. How'd you do this week?
It's been a slugfest. It really has, man, trying to produce decent fish. You know, I mean, we're blessed with an amazing job of going out and being on the water every day, but to consistently day in and day out produce good slot-sized fish,
yeah,
in consistent numbers, it can be tough from time to time, and I'm going through one of those phases this week. I mean, I'm doing it, but, I mean, catching three fish, you know, keeping three fish, you know.
Yeah.
You know, two reds and a trout, or two reds and a flounder, or vice versa. It's been tough, and Chip, personally, I think Chip's a much better fisherman than I am. And
he does, too.
He reminds me of that. He reminds me, but then I let his dog loose for a couple hours running the neighborhood while he's freaking out to get revenge on him.
There you go.
You know, Chip's much better at fishing both sides of the tide, and I'm a good fisherman at fishing usually the dropping tide and the return tide, and he's been doing better at the higher part of the tide, where I've been struggling at my bottom half of the tide. That's why I'm starting at 7 a.m. this morning, and I'm fishing the higher part of the dropping tide, because I've been ambushing better fish at the higher tide and racking up my numbers of smaller fish at the lower tide, if you understand what I'm saying right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my game plan for today, is strike the big fish early and then put the numbers on the board later on through the charter.
Yeah.
I got some kids on board today.
Well, it is tough. Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say it is tough when you're doing it out there on a daily basis like that, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, when you talk to people and it's like they've had a bad day fishing and all that, and it's like, well, you know, you can imagine trying to go out there and if the, you know, bronner's not right for you or whatever, you know, different things happening, fronts coming in and stuff. I mean, we got a little front coming in tonight, you know, but stuff like that, it's just, you know, it's difficult on a day-to-day basis like that. I mean, if you go out, you know, and you fish once every 2 weeks or something, you have a bad day, you can understand that because you're not keeping up with everything. But generally, we keep up with, you know, everything being out there all the time. Unfortunately, I hadn't been out there, you know, in a month, but because of taking care of everybody. But, you know, yesterday was my first day back again, and it was tough for me yesterday. I mean, we got some nice slot reds, but we didn't get a whole bunch of them, you know.
Right. I mean, there's a rhythm to it. There really is.
Yeah.
Mud minnows have been the key. There's some decent numbers of flounder in the valley, but I mean, there's a whole lot more flounders down in St. Augustine than there is in the valley. So if you want to go catch flounders, I'd head south. That's for sure. Trout, the water's a little bit dirty because of that rain we had last week. But it could be worse, in all honesty.
Yeah.
There are some good reds. Some red, you're not going to find them today. This is a weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, in the valley, it's like nothing short of Mad Max Thunderdome.
Oh, my.
I mean, dude, it's brutal. I mean, me and a couple of the other guys have been talking about upping our rates just for the weekend, you know, just because, oh, my God, what we have to go through.
Yeah.
It's just horrendous.
I don't have to fish on the weekends, and I don't. Just because of that, I can't, you know, you guys put up with that. It's terrible.
Yeah, Bill says he just refuses to fish the weekends, you know. And that's one of the reasons I don't go on Saturdays anymore, you know, because, I mean, by the time I get out here and go home and hook up the boat and then get to the boat ramp, it's like 10 o'clock, you know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you try to find a parking place and, you know, in warm weather, you know, in nice weather at 10 o'clock on Saturday. Not to mention bait shops. You got to get your bait earlier. The bait shops will be sold out by then.
That's right. And I mean, I completely understand and respect the weekend fishermen. Okay.
Yeah, because that's when they have that. That's when they have to go. You know.
That's right. That's right. So.
So I mean, you know,
I mean, I'm not calling him to make a bitch fest. I'm just
pointing
out a few pointers here and there. You know.
Yeah, I strictly understand. I just don't go because it's so late before I can get out there. But like I say, it's I've always told everybody the best time to go is when you can, even if you got. You know, 15, 20 knot winds, and it's a Saturday, and you're off work, it's the time to go.
Yeah, go when you can.
Vic, have you heard any good numbers of bull reds being caught yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't. Whenever I tried them before, you know, April, they've been coming in the river pretty good, so I expect they to be in there a lot better now, you know.
I'm thinking in my head, the last time we talked, you said there's something that wasn't a bunch of dredge boats down there, and I didn't know where they're located and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. You'll find them.
Oh, yeah. If you you come out of the Intercoastal in Sisters Creek, you'll run right into them. They're all in that area.
Lovely.
Yeah, they're all out in that area right there.
They're huge.
And let me tell you, the mud that you see in the water right there, the clouds of mud, it's just unbelievable. And, you know, they're supposed to be doing this for another 3.5 years, you know.
Those giant dredge boats remind me of the old World War One dreadnought boats, you know?
Yeah. Well, these are barges.
Battleships.
I think they've only got one dredge that's an actual dredge. The rest of them are cranes with a clam bucket. And that just seems so inefficient to me. I mean, by the time you dig out a bucket of dirt and come up and dump it in the barge and go back down, I mean, it should already be silted in with our current. It just seems so inefficient, you know.
Yeah.
Now the dredge is different because he's down here continually turning, continually chewing and pumping that stuff up, and that's, you know, that's a big difference, you know. But it just seems like
where are they dumping that at?
Huh?
Where are they dumping that at?
Offshore. They're taking the barges offshore.
Okay. I just remember as a child growing up getting shark's teeth at Buck Island.
Oh yeah. And I tell you, if you look at it too, they're taking stuff out, you know, on outside the channel, and the you know where we fish there at 25, where all the rock banks are at and stuff in there.
Yeah, I know where they're
removing all that rock. I think that they moved that buoy over. It looks like they moved that buoy over. I don't have a GPS position on that buoy, but I know that they're. Through that deep water dredging, they're supposed to widen the channel 100 feet in all of it. Yeah. And then 200 feet in one big area. And then down there where it makes that S curve right at Fort Caroline, where it makes that wide turn to the left and then straighten back up to go to Blunt Island, they're going to widen it there 300 feet.
Buddy, you wait until you see the erosion on the banks.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I just think the property owners just don't realize what's going to happen to that. I mean, when it silts back down, it's got to come from somewhere.
Oh, Vic, I just saw me a good sign this morning. I do the Nocatee Parkway. I don't know what you do every morning, but when I head to Palm Valley every day, you know, I come over, you know, you look at certain things that give you an idea of what the wind's going to be doing.
Uh-huh.
I just passed the... three flags right across from the gate station. They're sitting straight down.
Good deal. They weren't.
Oh, that's a good sign this morning.
They weren't sitting down yesterday. Leon, put your phone number. Put your phone number out there for everybody. If you'd like to go fish with Captain Leon Dana.
All right. It's I was trying to think of what your number was. 904-591-8906. If you want to come fish the valley and the valley only.
There you go. Say it again.
591-8906, my friend.
There you go. Well, I appreciate the call, Leon.
Anytime, Vic.
Still got to get with you, man.
It's all good.
All right, buddy. Maybe one of these stormy days we can meet for breakfast or something.
Now, that's something, I'd like to do that.
All right. Thanks, Leon.
Radio AM 600. 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Trade talks between the U.S. and China have broken up with no agreement hours after President Trump more than doubled tariffs on $200 billion in Chinese imports. Republican Senator David Perdue says it is time for China to back up its promises and end a number of unfair trade practices. He told the Salem Radio Network China's been getting away with major trade violations for more than 10 years despite its membership in the World Trade Organization. The chairman of the House Judiciary Committee says Special Counsel Robert Mueller will miss an appearance before his panel next week. The Pentagon says the U.S. will move a Patriot missile battery into the Middle East region to counter threats from Iran. And the latest deployment, some say, was necessary as a precaution in case Iran initiates its own offensive missile launch. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow gained 114 points to the S&P 500, up by 11. This is SRN News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year. A month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty, so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
You may be on the cutting edge of business technology, or you may be slow to come around. Either way, let my friends at CopyFax help you manage your documents. Hi, it's Brian Sexton. The business professionals at CopyFax will help you clear out your filing cabinets and create more usable space for your team by creating a simple but powerful document management solution. Check out their full-service website at CopyFax.com, and you'll see the future of document storage and management.
Simplify your document storage today, 296-1600 or CopyFax.com.
Everybody have a good weekend. We'll see you bright and early Monday morning at 6 a.m. This is Talk Radio WBOB. I'm your morning show host, Ed Dean, along with Roger Henderson. Roger, a lot of news coming up next week. You still got whether or not we're going to go after the Attorney General, school proposed sales tax, a lot to cover next week.
Whole lot of news, and of course, we always invite your input.
That's right. Join us 6 a.m. Monday morning, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, FM 101.1 AM 600, Talk Radio WBOB.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
Mostly sunny skies today with a high near 90. Looking for about a 20% chance of showers. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Getting down to about 73. Mostly sunny, breezy. 60% chance of afternoon showers Sunday. Highs of 91. Mostly cloudy Sunday night. Down to 73. And then mostly cloudy and breezy with a 60% chance of rain on Monday. Highs of 87.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And, yeah, Leon's always funny. That's a good call. It's a funny call.
Yep.
But, anyway, want to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day tomorrow. And so, you know, do something good for your mother. And, I'm going to, you know, trying to do something for my wife. She's the mother of my kids. And, you know, and then, you know, my granddaughter sings tonight. She's going to sing the national anthem for the Armada soccer game tonight.
Nice. Yeah. I didn't even know that was still legal.
What, singing the national anthem?
I know. Anthem, yeah. God bless her.
Yeah, they got her to sing the national anthem before the game tonight, so that's good. We'll all be there. And I'm looking forward to that. But I haven't been to one of their games yet, but of course I'll be at this one.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So I got a Mother's Day story for you, Vic.
Good.
You know, yesterday I went fishing. I had a pretty good day.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife works in St. Augustine, and I send her a picture of this. I get a 23-inch trout, yeah. You know. And it's just, the thing looked like a football with a fin. I mean, it was enormous. It was so full of eggs. So I threw it back. So I send the picture to my wife. Said I threw this fish back because that's not my nature. Or I hadn't thought it was my nature. Anyway, so she gets home last night, and she goes, "You killed that fish." I'm like, what? That fish with all that, you killed a mother on Mother's Day. I'm like, what? She goes, I know that fish is in the refrigerator, isn't it? And she's grilling me, you know. She works with a woman who doesn't eat, she's a vegan, you know, and so they're down there in the center of all things leftist, and they're convinced I killed this fish. And I said, why would you say that? She goes, because that's the only way you know it had eggs in it. I'm like, no, honey.
it's like sort of like looking at a pregnant woman. You can tell there's
pretty much full of, yeah,
full of eggs, man.
Yeah, you she thought I was a mom killer
at Mother's Day.
At Mother's Day, yeah. I don't know where they cooked that up, but it's pretty funny.
So you caught quite a few trout yesterday on your DOA shrimp.
Yeah, it's a great lure.
Yeah,
I caught a 20-inch trout and he fell off in the net. It was that close. It was,
wow.
Holy smokes. I missed a very big trout. I mean, just, I don't know how big, but he was a lot bigger than that 23 or 24-inch trout that I caught. I fished in a bunch of different places. I didn't get many trout anywhere in particular.
Mm-hmm.
I fished old places. I fished the flounder hole that I go to on the river, and I'm right next to a barge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's out in the middle, and I'm not, but it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I caught that trout, caught another one, legal trout there. I missed a flounder there. And that was it. It was over.
Mm-hmm.
So everywhere I went, I caught two or three fish and moved on.
Yeah.
And then, the wind came up. And I had actually thought going down towards the valley, but because I've been hearing such good reports from Chip and Leon. But
mm-hmm.
I said, the heck with that. I'm not driving into that wind.
And it's kind of a pretty good trip down there too, going by boat.
Well, and I don't fish down there very much, but mm-hmm. I always try to go new places.
Yeah,
and I went new places yesterday,
and that's always good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's like this guy I used to work with. What we did a lot of times is we'd go fishing. We'd go places we've never been just to go explore, and I really like exploring.
Yeah, it's fun.
And when I first started chartering, I did that quite a bit. You know, between charters and stuff, I would, you know, go in places. A lot of times, if I had a half a day trip, I would take, you know, a couple hours of that day, and after I'd drop people off and just go looking, you know. And I had time to do that, you know, to be able to look at, around different things like that. Here lately, this, you know, past few years, I ain't had time to do that, but I would like to get back into that sometime and be able to just to go out there and try. Because I have a hard time taking people where I've never been, because you don't know, you know, where the oyster beds are at,
right.
Where, you know, you tell them to throw over there and they're liable to get hung up and lose everything, you know, and stuff like that. So I kind of like to know the area before I take people into it.
I went to a new spot Monday. Monday was, for me, was a terrible day.
Mm.
I caught two fish, you know, caught a blue fish and a 16-inch red fish. Mm. I did get lucky, got the blue fish off in the water instead of having to put that treble hook in my hand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those things will get you. That and the jacks. But the bluefish are, I think, the worst about getting on a lure like that.
Yeah.
Because they can put a hook in you so fast.
Well, you hit five times. Mm-hmm. You know, you're on the surface on a spook, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was terrible. I mean, I went up to Simpsons Creek,
mm-hmm.
And I've caught a lot of fish up there. Didn't catch anything. I guess I did. That's where I did catch a little redfish. Fished there for 4 hours. Didn't catch a dang thing to speak of. And I went up this creek that you had told me it gets pretty shallow. Somebody at the launch ramp told me they've been catching flounders and trout in there. And it's like a ditch. I mean, it's just a grass banks all the way up, and it's deep enough. But when I went in, it was real shallow, and the tide was going out. I'm just going to mosey up there. And so I did. I moseyed up and come back and went, oh, jeez, I can see, you know, it's real shallow now.
Yeah.
There's about a 35-foot cruiser coming up the river headed towards Nassau, and he is flying. He's putting out about a 4-foot wake. And I thought,
my way out.
My way out. And sure enough, I waited, and I timed it where I thought that those wakes were going to be going over that sandbar, and I hit it, got up on plane, and bounced across, and I made it out of there. Otherwise, I'd have been sleeping in my boat for a couple hours, getting sunburned.
Yeah.
So that was pretty fun. You know, it was kind of scary, kind of fun.
A lot of those creeks, whenever you fish them like that, you know, you can be in there and be in there and fish. You might have a good enough depth in the creek.
Yeah,
and the mouth goes dry, you know.
It was 8 feet deep in some of the bends up in there at low tide.
So that's what I mean. You could fish through at low tide and then, you know, go back out on the. I mean, there's several creeks that I used to fish like that. I don't do it anymore because when you take, you know, clients in to places like that, if they have an emergency at home or something like that, you're not getting out of there.
Right.
You know? So I just don't do that anymore.
Well, I don't like the idea of getting up in there and not catching anything. Find out that's where you're going to live for the next 2.5 hours.
Yeah, yeah, that's bad too. Because, but a lot of times, you know, that's when you can get some nice reds in there because they know they got enough water to stay up in there. You know, but you know, it just all depends. I just, like I said, that I just do it for safety reasons. For, you know, because whenever people have to get back to the ramp or something, then, you know, I want to be able to get them back there.
I'm thinking there's a trickle of water coming out of that thing at low tide. I never got out.
It reminds me of a gentleman which has called me the other night. Matter of fact, just talked to him about his boys, 15 years old now. Just how long ago he's been fishing with me. But I had him out, him, his dad, and all, fishing. And then he got a phone call. His wife was pregnant. He got a phone call, and I had to rush him back to the dock. She had twins that afternoon.
Obviously, the fish weren't biting.
Boys. You know, and so anyway, we, you know, was able to get him back, and sure enough, she had the kids a little early. She wasn't due quite yet, but
right.
So that's why they were able to go fishing. They just didn't expect it, but you never expect this. You know, the kids going to come when they want to come, you know.
That would have been tough if the fish were biting over there.
Yeah.
honey, there's been a problem. We'll be a little late.
But, you know, you have to, you know, look at things like that. When you're out there yourself, you know, you're probably, you know, pretty safe to be able to do that. And if you can't get out, you just can't get out.
Yeah. No, I've laid in the bottom of the boat wishing it was somewhere else a few times on a sandbar. Yeah. I just try not to do it.
Yeah. Well, and you can stay up in there. But, you know, as far as exploring, I had a charter one time. I was going to pick up, I think, at 9:30. Yeah, I think I was going to pick him up at 9:30 that morning. So I put the boat in, and I, you know, go up around. I said, I'm going to go to look at this creek. I've never, you know, I fished the mouth of it on the outgoing tide, and I've caught some fish, caught some flounder and some reds there. And so I went up there to look at it. It's a little creek about, it's probably 5-6 foot wider than my boat is all.
Wow.
But there's a big flow comes out of there. Do you throw your bait up in there, up in the creek? On a jig head, and it'll flush it right out. So, you know, you get to fish kind of each side of the creek now. So I thought I'd go up in there and see. It's got to go a long ways. Well, it didn't really go a long ways. It went up about maybe 600-700 feet. And then it opened up to about 2 acres of flooded grass.
Wow.
And ever since then, I fished that area a lot. And let me tell you, I've caught a lot of fish out of there and caught some nice sheephead out of there. But you can go in there at any high tide and get in there, which a lot of times, you know, flooded grass, you got to wait till you have a real high tide to fish flooded grass. But this particular area is pretty nice. And, you know, I hear people when they go by in the boat out there in the main creek, you know, they're going by and they're like, how in the world are you up in there? Because it's such a small creek to get in there.
Right.
But, you know, there's just areas like that you can find, you know. Give us a call if you like, 222-8255. And we'll be back after this.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hooker's offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. We got Henry on here. Let's get Henry on. Morning, Henry.
Morning, guys. Thanks. It's been a while since I've talked to you guys. Last time I talked to you was crappie season.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I remember now.
Yeah, don't take your wife.
I agree with that.
I couldn't fish. Remember, I couldn't fish because I kept having to take them off. You know? And then I wouldn't be looking. She'd slap me back of the head with one, swinging around with a cane pole. You know?
Yeah. She must have had a good day then.
Oh, she loves speck fishing. As long as she don't have to take them off.
Yeah, but, I know what you mean.
If they're not biting, her, you know, she don't like to just sit there.
So. Well, see, next time you go, you say, well, they're not biting today, but I think I'm going to go anyway.
They're not biting today.
Yeah. They're probably not going to bite, but I'm going.
My wife loves to fish, but she is not going to hook on any kind of live bait. Now, she'll put a piece of dead shrimp on, but she is not going to hook anything alive, on a hook. She won't put a pogie on, mud minnow, live shrimp, none of that. You know, it's got to be dead for her to hook it on the hook. And then she don't take fish off the hook either, you know.
Right.
But she can catch them.
Same thing. My wife has the beginner's luck fishing. So, but the reason I was calling, I told you guys I have a lake house out there, Grandin Lake.
Oh, okay.
And I took her bass fishing out there, and we were using some little minnows. She was using little minnows to fish with little shiners. But she caught a nice size crappie, and before she got into the boat, Stumpy pretty much hit it, and she had a big fish on, and it broke her line. And, I had a drag set, but it was just taking the drag. I took a rod underneath the boat on the other side and broke her line. But anyway, about 10 minutes later, almost a 10.5-pound bass started to circle, coming up. He'd come up and go back down, come up, go back down. Go, what in the world is going on? He tried to swallow that big speck she had on. She had a big speck on it. So it was caught in his jaw sideways. And we got over there with the net and netted it. And I didn't have a scale, but I guarantee it was almost 10 pounds. But we took a picture of it, and I finally got that crappie out of its mouth and, released the bass. But she claims that's her fish, that's her bass she caught. So, so she tells everybody she caught a 10-pound bass. So.
Seems right to me.
There you go. I tell you, me and a buddy of mine went bass fishing one time. And we'd call the little bait shop, that they had shiners, and they didn't have any shiners. And so I said, well, I got some mud minnows in my live well that I've been using for flounder fishing. Let's take them. And we took those mud minnows, and believe it or not, we caught bass and crappie. I mean, just it was so funny to use those mud minnows, in the fresh water. But, man, those bass and the speckled perch, they loved them.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. I mean, when you go to some of these bait places, if they're out of shiners, but they got extra large minnows.
Yeah.
You catch a variety of different fish with them.
And
bass love them too. So.
Well, those mud minnows, they stay alive a long time, in that fresh water. And I guess being as thick as they are, they do a lot more action than a Missouri minnow,
Right. Now, it's illegal. I mean, I've never done this, but I heard it's illegal to use goldfish, right?
Yes, it is.
And the reason for that is because of the populating the freshwater lakes with them and stuff like that. Or
if they get off your hook and start multiplying in places, that's why they're an invasive species that way.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not because the bass love them so much, and which I imagine they do.
A lot of people think that.
But I tell you, there is a dye. I don't know if you've ever seen this. There is a dye that I used to use it just to try it with mud minnows and stuff like that. And you put like a little bit of it in a bucket and put a mud minnow in there and let him swim around a little bit. And then put him on the hook. And I like the chartreuse color, but it turns those mud minnows chartreuse color and doesn't kill them. Now, I don't know if it would kill like a Missouri minnow or something like that, but it's just a dye is what it is. You can get it in several colors.
It doesn't kill them, or it doesn't kill them right away?
Yeah, well, it might kill them later on, but it didn't kill them right away. I mean, I never saw where it bothered them because the fish would eat them. Mm-hmm.
Are you telling a fish story?
No, I'm not, actually.
He looks suspicious. He does.
I sound like the lady that called in, and she goes, I don't understand why those deers don't
yeah.
crossings. They come across, and she was, of course, the announcer went ahead and played along with her. This woman was dead serious. Why don't the deer just read the sign or go to the deer crossing and cross the road? It wouldn't be so many deer get killed.
Exactly. No, actually, this is a stuff. I've got it right here. Okay. You can look in Google, and it comes up. You just put in bait dye, and there's wow. one that's it's called Spike It Dip and Glow Worm Dye. Excuse me. And you know, you can get a fire dye with chartreuse. You get a hot wow. high octane dye. But anyway, some of these dyes, if you look at them, they're you know they are like. That they will kill your bait if you use live bait. They're for like putting your rubber worms in and different things like that. Although I would just buy the color I wanted, you know, for rubber worms or things like that. But there is this other dye in here that you can use, and actually I think it's Spike It is the one that makes it, and they have like glow baits and all kinds of stuff. So it's pretty neat.
I can't think of the guy's last name. Jimmy, the fishing guy, pro bass.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, wore the big sunglasses. I'm not a big believer in this. Remember, he'd take his bait, he'd spray it, the worm, he'd spray it with something.
Oh, yeah.
He'd say it makes the bass go crazy. And I mean, I know he's promoting a product, but I always thought it was just the action of the worm and stuff. I mean... smell don't make a world of a difference so bad.
No, I wouldn't think it would. Now it does for like, you know, redfish and, you know, things like that, but but I don't think it would be for a bass. I mean, a bass I think mostly goes on sight. You know?
Sight, right.
I think one of the best things you can use is the tequila worm, because if you don't catch any fish you don't care.
You know, one thing about bass fishing, I was fishing with a older gentleman, and you know, I used the weights in front of the I don't know what you call a rig, Texas rig maybe. You've got the slip weight on the front of the line, and you just throw it out there, and it weighs the kicks the worm down.
Yeah, you know, you're talking little bullet weights.
Right. But he was taking, he had no weight at all, and he just had maybe like a 4-inch lime green worm, and he was hooking the hook in the middle of the worm and just throwing it out there and just letting it kind of go down. He tore it. I was fishing right beside him in the boat. He was catching 10-1. I mean, he was just slaying them. And I changed. I said, hell with this. I changed.
Yeah, it's probably the way, worm just kind of, you know, didn't sink real fast, but kind of moved the movement of each end of the worm as it's going down.
Right.
If he's hooking it in the middle like that, you know. But yeah, I mean, we used to use the little bullet weights on them, you know, for the care, you know, I don't know what they call them, but, you know, you put that bullet weight on it where it slips right down to the nose of the worm. But a lot of times, depending on where I was at, if there's no wind blowing and I was bass fishing with worms, I'd like to use the worm without any weight. So you got to use a light line to be able to cast it, you know. But really, bass fishermen, you know, they don't need to cast a long ways. You know, they usually pull up to the bank or pull up to trees or whatever, you know. Henry, I appreciate your call, buddy. It was great to hear from you.
Have a good one. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Look to hear from you again.
See you, Henry.